episode 480, May 4th, 2020.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
It's a f***ing great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they are.
Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Rob and Joe. Chat room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Rob and Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Rob and Joe.
Welcome to the Rob and Joe Show with special guest Katie Robinson.
Hi.
Hey, Katie. If you remember last week, Joe told his, which is now yearly story, every April he has a bit of an accident. And
yeah, it was almost...
Katie had not heard that story. But Joe, why don't you just refresh us on your little adventure at the new home?
If you listened last week, it was the opposite of what people normally do. The story is actually worse than what I told. Because, so what I told the last time is that it happened, and then, oh no, I left the gloves in, and then the guy went in. But as I remembered it, it was actually worse than that. So what happened was, Katie and I went to look inside of a new house. We have a realtor who's very good, and her husband were looking at the outside of the house. We were all outside of 6 feet of one another. We were all wearing masks. We were all wearing gloves. Katie and I were going to go in first. They were going to look at the outside. And then she picks the house apart a little bit. She's excellent, right? So Katie and I look at the inside. They look at the outside. We walk out. And this realtor is walking us around the house to let us know, you know, here are the problems. Here's what the issues are. Here's what's going on. And while we're walking on the outside of the house, that's when I realize that I have this urgency. And if you didn't listen last week, I was literally going to shit my pants. I had to go into this house and go to the bathroom. So, of course, I go in. Those two people hadn't been in the house yet. So I go in, and I, of course, do what I need to do, and I realize as soon as I'm done that there's no toilet paper. But remember, it isn't just me going. Think about the urgency so you know what type, if that makes sense, what type of number two occurred, right? So, as I mentioned last week, I sat on the sink, and I ran the water, and I bidet'd my ass until I felt like I was clean enough to leave.
No one lives here. There's no towel. There's no soap.
Nothing. There's nothing for me to deal with what I had just done. I also looked in the bowl, and I saw that there was some remnants. So I gave it a second flush, and I shut it, because there was no, what could I do? I mean, there's nothing. Because remember, I had to go quick.
Shut it and forget it.
Well, I didn't want them to know that I had done this, so I was trying to go as quickly as I possibly could, right? Anyway, so then I go out, and then they go in, okay? But as I mentioned before, I doubt they lifted up the toilet seat. I was pretty thorough with rinsing out whatever was happening inside of that in the sink itself. And then they came out, and I also thought because there was new paint and new carpet in there that might have masked enough, so I got off scot-free, okay? But then, and there's really no reason for this, after I was out of the woods, they came out, they were telling us all that they thought about the inside of the house, and I realized I didn't have my gloves on, and I could have said nothing. There was no reason for me to mention I left my gloves in there. But I panicked. I don't know why. And I'm like, like, I didn't want them to be like, oh, I'm suspicious he doesn't have gloves on. So I was like, oh, I just realized I left my gloves in there. And that's when the husband goes, oh, let me go back in and get them. So now they've already been in there once. And maybe I got away with it. I don't know. But this guy goes back in. You know where the gloves were? They were right in front of the bowl. So that means he had to bend down directly in front, like within a foot or 6 inches of where I was, and pick up the gloves. And that's when he came back out, and that's when his demeanor had changed. So that's the real story. Now,
Katie did not know about this at the time. You didn't tell her right afterwards. How did you find out about this, Katie?
Well, I want to tell what I did to strategically let her know. I wanted a buffer. I didn't want to just tell her. You know what I mean? And then I didn't want to just live in real life. I wanted it to be told as hilarious as it is. Because if somebody else is there and they're cracking up, which they are, which they were, then it kind of takes some of the edge off of it.
Okay.
Right? So our friend Erica came over on Friday and I said, hey, I got to tell you a story. And I knew Katie hadn't heard it because believe me, she would have said something to me had she heard it. So I then told the story. And that's when it was revealed to her, but I had like a third party buffer person in there.
I was horrified at the story. And I also have a few questions that I wrote down after much thought about. Because
Katie has notes.
Much like Joe, you know, with the buffer situation, it was smart because I would have reacted probably even a little bit more different. I've reacted differently if Erica wasn't there. Because I was horrified even when she was there, but I was laughing. I would have laughed if you just told me
right
in the car as we were leaving. I'd have been like, oh, my God, that's crazy. We need to call everybody and tell them. But, I mean, okay, I'm just going to read my notes. Okay. There is a extremely high chance, like probably the very, very high 90%, that no one has ever used that toilet before.
Yeah, you're right, because it was a flip. And
there no was one ever lived in this house.
Well, they haven't lived in it since they
right.
fixed
up. Everything's new. I mean, he legitimately was probably the first person to ever use this, and he just like acted like a savage.
Well, I will say this: I might not have been the first person to go to the bathroom in there, but 100%, I'm the first person to number two in there.
Right?
There's
okay.
no way to deal
let me,
with.
And let me go to the next thing I said. So I already answered one of them. Why didn't you tell me? Okay. I mean, I would have liked you to tell me before we got in the car.
Before?
Well, when we were in the car, I would have liked to have known that you were like, had shit all over you.
Believe me, that's not going to happen.
Okay.
It's not dishonesty, but
okay.
remember,
that's fine.
Hold on. Remember you threw me, you might not remember, believe me, I did. You threw me the hand sanitizer.
So I will say when you had to go to the bathroom really bad, I knew you had to like shit because, and we'll get to that because I'm convinced that you do have IBS. So
uh-huh. Right.
Okay. Here's my biggest question. Why didn't you use the gloves?
I did. You know what? I swear. And you made a lot of sense.
You took them off.
It didn't occur to me. But you know what? One, because it was the only thing that there was there. There's nothing else I could have used. You're right.
Why didn't you use something you were wearing? Socks, underwear?
Where? Because then I would have had to carry it out.
You were wearing a hoodie. You could have just stuffed it in a pocket.
You just flush it and hope it goes down.
What do you
the
mean?
Gloves would have been so easy. I mean, seriously, third world countries would be excited to use something like a glove.
Yeah, we don't have to wipe their ass with. Yeah. Yeah, thank God I don't have to use this corn stalk. No. So it never occurred to me to use a sock. I would have used a sock if I could have gone out and disposed of it. By the way, I don't think I was wearing... Oh, I was because I had my tennis shoes on.
Oh, my God.
But if I came out with no socks on, somebody would have noticed.
But, Joe, the real thing is that, like, I'm certain that you have IBS and you're in complete denial of it. I'm going to use the show as my buffer, like my your version
That's
of Erica.
Fine.
I am so certain you have IBS. I feel like, you know, I'm... Like, we live together. Like, you definitely have a serious urgency to shit more than most people.
Well, Katie, friend of the show, Dr. Gill, messaged me.
Okay.
He goes, hey, I just listened to the latest show, and I have a serious, not joking observation. Can you forward my info to Joe, and he's welcome to text me? He has possibly worrisome symptoms with his bowel symptoms. Ask him the following. Has he had a stool, I don't know how to say this, GUAIAC test in the last 2 years? Apparently, it checks for hidden blood that happens in early colon cancer.
See?
If not, he should get that done ASAP or get a colonoscopy if he hasn't had one.
So, Katie's been on me to make sure that I get all my old man shit taken care
of. Yeah, a colonoscopy.
And right before this happened, right?
Right.
I went and I got my physical.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I got everything. Blood tests. I got, you know, blood pressure, you know, whatever they do, I got done. Then I said, hey, I need to get a colonoscopy. I'm 51. And literally this was 1 week before this shit happened. So I haven't been able, like, I'm on my way to get that.
But you need to be honest, because I don't think you are being honest about your symptoms.
Well, I don't have constipation.
No, but you have the opposite, and you are urgently, like, whenever we're, like, somewhere, you're like, I have to go to the bathroom right now.
Well, right, but it's not usually shit. I have to pee a lot
old man. Because, Katie, on last week's show, the chat asked that. And Joe denied that this is something that happens to him that often.
Disagree. Yeah, I disagree. I think he's in denial of it. I don't know why. But I also think that I don't know. I do think that you should be a little concerned. But you also, all you drink all day is coffee.
So, yeah.
So I think it's ruining your insides.
A lot of this is, there's some reality to it. So Katie's like, hey, you need to make sure you get checked out. I had literally done what I needed to do in order to get myself checked out, but I had to, that plan ceased, and I'll go and get my colonoscopy as soon as the world spins again, right?
Okay.
So that's the first thing. The second thing is, ask Aunt Mom, ask her. There's something called the favor gut, no lie, where we're not quite as solid as normal people.
It's called IBS.
Listen, so maybe it is.
The favor gut is IBS. You know that, right?
No, I don't. Hear me out. Because when we went through the symptoms of IBS, the majority of them I didn't have. I don't have the majority of the symptoms. I've literally never been constipated in my entire life. I don't have abdominal pains. There was a few others, but we went through it. By the way, if I have it, good, then I'll deal with it. You know what I mean? I'll be like, all right, I'll deal with it. So everything Dr. Gill is saying is correct. I'm going to go get it checked out. It's colonoscopy time. I'm not looking forward to it, but I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had already started the process. But you do agree that there's been a 2 month and 1 week window where I really haven't been able to.
No, I understand. Yeah, yeah. I'm hard on you because you're a lot older, and I feel like you should be taking care of yourself more when it comes to your health.
Agreed. I saw my man tits today, and I'm like, it's time to take better care of myself.
Obviously, because of the situation we're in, you weren't just coming from having gone out to eat. So
it was coffee.
Usually, like you've mentioned, like you love Five Guys, and sometimes that'll give you diarrhea. But where did you come from that this just hit you?
I'm trying to remember.
What happened?
No, guys, you have to listen to me here. He will drink a huge thing of coffee, and then no matter where we are, he's like, I have to get home. I have to go to the bathroom.
Coffee makes you shit. That's not just me. Yeah.
Okay.
No, that is true. I'm not saying. Listen,
no, okay.
But I'll concede.
But that's
a lot of
the
things.
Answer. The answer is you had drank probably 64 ounces of coffee.
No, maybe I might have I might have drank two coffees. Usually, I drink one. But I'm not. Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with it. This is what I am saying. You're right. I need to get a colonoscopy. Dr. Gill's right. I need to get a colonoscopy. Do I drink too much coffee? Well, I drink at least one giant cup of coffee every day. Likely. I'd say every third day during quarantine, I have more than one cup of coffee.
Every day when you're not in quarantine, you have multiple cups of coffee.
You're right about that. So there is some truth. It could be the amount of coffee I'm drinking. It could be IBS. I'm not discounting it. All I'm saying is that when we read the symptoms, I was missing the majority of them. That's all that I'm saying. I was missing the majority of the symptoms when we looked. But here's the thing. If I have it, I have it, and that's actually good, and I can treat it or whatever.
If you're going to get coffee when you're out and about, don't drink it until you get home. I think that's in the immediate.
Impossible.
That's what you do now.
Well, yeah, but I have to drink coffee in the morning because I get pounding headaches if I don't.
If you're at home, yes. But if don't go get coffee and then say, hey, let's go look at a house, or let's go to Walmart, let's go to Kohl's. No, you don't drink it until you get home.
Maybe that you're right about that, and I'll take that into consideration. But if I'm going to Kohl's, no problem. They have a bathroom there. It's if I'm going to this house, it's a place like, where wouldn't I want to shit? A model home. Other than that, pretty much everywhere has a bathroom I'm comfortable with shitting in.
Okay, but I don't want to do a public shit if I don't have to. I mean, do I need coffee that bad? I mean, I'll just wait till I'm closer to home.
He's not built that way.
Yeah, I do. I'm definitely addicted to caffeine. Couple things from chat real quick. Benchwarmer said the real estate fired them as a client as soon as she found out.
No, she's still helping us.
Right.
Yeah, that's the thing I didn't know. Like, I thought that this was just some random realtor. This is your realtor that you have to see.
She's like a family realtor. She's like sold every one of Joe's sister's houses, his, you know, his parents, like, and my mom knows her. Like, my, or both of our families are super close with her.
Yeah, listen, this is true. Listen, her sister.
Yes.
Her, Katie's mom was her sister's maiden of honor.
Yeah, maid of honor.
Maid of honor.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the relationship on Katie's side.
Can we get on the show?
On, I hope not. On my side, both my sisters, she was their realtor when they bought the homes that they currently live in.
Yes.
So she's like intertwined in our lives, yes, right? And I thought about that. I'm like, God, how do I?
She is the best realtor, by the way, I've ever come across in my entire, like, everyone always said, like, she's the best realtor. Nobody cares about this, but everyone always said she's the best realtor, but I'm legitimately telling you, I've never experienced a realtor like this before.
I will say this, Erica, who we mentioned earlier, our friend, she just took the real estate test to get licensed. Okay. Yeah. Now this, she can't get it now because of the way the world's working, but she took her test. She passed it, but we called this realtor at 11 o'clock.
11 a.m.
And by 2, we're in the house looking at it during the quarantine. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, Erica's not even up by 2.
We hadn't talked to the realtor since August. Yeah. We talked to the realtor in August. The last time I texted her like at 11 a.m. on Sunday. She said, I'll meet you there at 2.
Yeah.
I was like,
and we're there looking at the place. Yeah. So I do worry about that a little bit.
Shout out Karen Volker if anyone's looking to buy a house.
Yeah, she's awesome.
If
but
this was a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode, she would start giving the cold shoulder to your family, and they'd be wondering.
Well, that's the thing, because
I'm stressed.
Katie just said her first and last name, but I don't want her to know this. I wanted to act like it never
happened. She honestly, I bet she does.
How would she know?
I bet her husband told her.
Oh yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, I can't say it was the last guy.
I mean, I totally understand if you don't want to come to any more of these, and I'm actually totally okay with it.
No, I got to come, right?
100% chance the husband told her.
Yeah,
you two as the couple and you were the real estate agent show, you would have told Katie immediately.
Yes.
Anybody tells anybody. There's no reason to not divulge that information. Yeah, no, they know. That's a fact.
Yeah, I think it's a high 90 percentile that they know.
Anything else from chat, Joe?
Yeah, when somebody said, does the movie screen stay with the current house or go to the new one? Clearly, it goes with the it goes to the new one. Somebody says, what is a giant cup of coffee? How many ounces? Well, it's the whatever the largest. What's the Dunkin' Donuts XL?
Extra large is,
Dunkin'
I don't know.
Dunkin' Donuts XL coffee size.
36 ounces?
Let's see what it says. The extra large is 24 ounces.
Did Mac Colby get his thank you note?
Hey, everybody got it but Mac Bergson. Mac Bergson's thank you card is sitting in the office, and it says Mac Bergson in Katie's beautiful handwriting. And then, so I go, hey, I have this address. She goes, well, you write it. Mac Bergson is the only person that has my handwriting on his card. It literally looks like a third grader wrote it. But that's on her. She made me write it. So I have it. I'm going to put it in the mailbox as soon as the show's over.
Have you considered, Joe, just walking around with like some sort of napkin or tissue paper in your pocket at all times?
Seriously, it hasn't been that big of a problem that I would need to do that.
You did shit your pants at Kohl's.
A year ago, yes. More than a year ago. As a matter of fact, the reason we know is because Eric Woodworth put it in the Die Laughing calendar. We talked about that. That means it's been a year and 3 days since I had a shit issue. You'd figure somebody with IBS would have a bigger...
you've had multiple since then, but yeah.
Not issues.
All right, Robbie, Katie, let's do a quick little bet. When do you think the next time Joe has a shit emergency?
He has to be honest about it. So,
yeah, I will be honest.
What's today? Go ahead, guys.
Today is May 4th. The 4th be with you.
Okay. I mean, what do you think, Robbie?
Tomorrow.
Okay, well, what do we consider a shit issue? He has to urgently run to the bathroom.
There's urgency and there's some cleanup involved.
More than the usual.
More than usual cleanup involved.
Joe, what do you?
I'm saying like he's driving. Like let's say he's driving home, he has to make a stop versus just going that he wouldn't normally make.
Okay. Are you sticking with tomorrow, Robbie? Then.
Yes.
Okay.
Wow, what happens?
I don't think Joe's driving anywhere between the next
July 2nd.
I'm gonna say June 10th.
Okay, so
May 5, June 10, July 2nd. Good luck, Joe.
Well, let me say this. So I actually went into my office today, okay? And I had to do what I do when I drink coffee. I had to do that in my office. Although I do that every morning. I drink my coffee and then my body tells me it's time to shit. That happens every morning.
It's okay. Never urgent.
No, of course. Sometimes it is. Yeah. I mean,
how much more often is it urgent than not urgent?
Oh, it's definitely not urgent more often than it is. But let me just tell this story. Maybe this helps me a little bit. So I went into the bathroom and I shit. And then I went to flush and it wouldn't flush. So it's in there. Matter of fact, I went in there later. I went in there later. It was still there.
Are you serious?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to tell anybody. Somebody else is going to find it and say somebody shit in here, and it's going to, it didn't go down. The button wasn't working.
Oh my God. Well, are you serious?
That has nothing to do with my shit.
So Robbie wins, by the way.
Hold on. How does the toilet being broken have anything to do with the urgency? Yes. By the way, I'm going to shit every day.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway. So, but this is how I feel.
Nobody has this many shit issues.
This is how I think it's not an issue. I wasn't embarrassed of somebody finding it.
What?
That's just because you're 51. You stop caring about these things.
No.
You're more likely to have the ones that you don't want anyone to find.
No, it was a reasonable. No, because if it can't get flushed, I'm like, is that look like something that I'm going to care that somebody sees? And I didn't. I liked it. I was proud.
Does it even make any sense? It literally makes no sense.
No. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Does that make sense what I'm saying?
No.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you rather somebody see a nice long log, or would you rather them see diarrhea? So you do know what I'm talking about.
Does it even matter if somebody finds somebody else's shit? They don't care.
No. First of all, I'm saying that I care. They might not, but I do, because first of all, you know how many men were in the office? Two. And that means the other guy knows it was me. So it's not, I'm not hard to identify. There's nobody in the office. So
okay.
There's one other guy in the office. If he goes in, he's going to go, that's Joe Robinson's shit. That's his shit.
It and it's like, a beautiful, beautiful
and it
shit.
It looks like a normal shit is what he's going to say.
I give it a 93, a 97, or a 94.
I don't even know what to say.
It was good. I will say one more thing. So, you know, I love black licorice, right? I love it. We've talked about it. Maybe
can I leave now at this point?
If you don't want to hear it, do you not want to hear it?
You should leave the marriage at this point.
So when I shit after eating black licorice, it comes out green. Swear. I don't know why.
You proud of that too?
I'm not. Hey, if it was green, I would not be proud of it. I would have done whatever it took to make sure that thing was fixed.
I mean,
well, I'm going to get coffee and black licorice right before our next murder mystery and just see what happens.
All right, it's break
let's
time.
Let's take a break. We apologize for this show. We'll be right back.
It's a shit show.
Rob's new album is now available for download. Comedy for the Quarantine.
You say an hour. Foreplay. I know, I understand. He doesn't have that much foreplay in him. This guy, he's got like three moves. He fucking does them in reverse and then six, but it's really the same fucking move. You know what he's doing. Left to right, right to left. It's fucking, what's he? Yeah. He's drinking White Claw. He's giving up. I mean, the fucking guy is just giving up on life. He stopped trying. It's like, I mean, he's like, do you have a cucumber, berry, grape, seltzer water with one calorie that if I drink 17, I can still drive legally? Do you have that? I'd like to get a bucket of that, please. Yes. You took a DNA test and you're 100% basic bitch, okay? They are good as shit, though. They're fucking tasty. All right. You can drive a school bus legally. It doesn't fucking matter.
All proceeds go to the Rob Mayer Relief Fund. Please visit robmayer.com for more info. The cheer you need is here, just in time. Comedy for the Quarantine.
You could use the laughs. I could use the money.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Sorry, I got the only thing that can follow that is a Gramps story. So, hey, we have production for Gramps, obviously. So let's cue that up, Robbie.
And now, another titillating entry from the diary of everyone's favorite sexy septuagenarian, Gramps.
This segment brought to you by Making Podcasts Great Again. starring J.L. Covan as President Trump. Follow them on Twitter at TrumpPod and listen via all your favorite podcast platforms.
And check out JL's new comedy album. I believe it's another Trump one, Fireside Craps 2, I believe, on iTunes or everywhere you buy albums.
One thing you want now is when JL comments on a tweet that you put out, it quadruples in size because his fans come in and now they're interested in what you have to say because he has now 82,000 followers. So thank you, JL. He commented on my 4 favorite bad movies, and as a result, I got 100 likes when I average about, 18. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead, Rob.
He's an influencer. Yes. All right. Since I'm not going out, I thought I would tell a story from about 45 years ago. I don't know if Robbie or Joe remember this, but when I worked in D.C., I took the family to Chinatown for lunch. I decided to stop on the way to introduce them to the only white customer I had. I told my wife, but I didn't tell the boys that she was a madam and had 2 prostitutes who live with her. The girls never approached me for business, mine or theirs, but they were always friendly and had talks with me. One day, one girl was telling me about her customers. They only lived about 4 blocks from the Capitol. One of her clients was a senator who came regularly. What he liked most was golden showers. At the time, I had never heard of that, so she explained it to me. He would lay on the floor, she would straddle him standing and pee on him. I have now come to realize that there's a number of politicians I would like to piss on myself, but not if they liked it.
Yeah, I don't remember that. I've told this story on here before, and I know Robbie's going to remember this. And by the way, we were young, so I think we were probably like 8 and 10, maybe 9 and 11.
Still in elementary school.
Yeah, and my father took us to it was basically like a grill, right? They served, I think they only had like hamburgers. It was this tiny little, where you get hamburgers, fries, hot dogs, and, then that's it, right? And I remember my father, he's from West Virginia, by the way, and he went in there, and as soon as he went in there, he started talking like June Cleaver from Airplane, right? It was a language I didn't understand. He immediately was like, oh, I speak jive. And of course, I think he's denied that at this point. Am I right about that, Robbie?
Several times.
Does he deny that?
I think he does. He might not.
I think he downplays it. I don't think he denies trying to talk more street.
But here's the thing that's funny about that is that I was a child. Like, I didn't know to exaggerate these stories in order to make them funny, which is what he accuses me of. I said that when I was 9 years old, and I immediately said, Dad, why are you talking like that? That's not how you talk. And, of course, he went back to being a regular white West Virginian as soon as we walked out of there. But I don't remember the madam.
I remember hearing about the madam. I don't remember meeting the madam.
Yeah, and of course, he never told us that golden shower story until we got... How about how my father didn't know what a golden shower was?
Well, I mean, is that abnormal for that time period for someone of Graham's conservative lifestyle?
I'm trying to think of when I first heard of a golden shower. I guarantee I was in my teens.
Yeah, have you learned any new sexual things since then? I mean,
I'm trying to think. There has to be some things that I learned at an old Eiffel Tower I didn't learn till I was older.
What's that?
An Eiffel Tower is when, isn't that there's 3 people and somebody's standing up and then there's things that are occurring. So you're tall. You know what I'm going to do? So, but hey, maybe I don't know what it is, but I'm going to read it verbatim from Urban Dictionary. Here we go.
All right.
Urban. Yeah. Urban. Now, I guarantee you my father doesn't know what this is. So Eiffel. Oh, here we go. Eiffel Tower. Urban Dictionary. Okay. So Urban Dictionary. Yeah, that's right. Okay. It a sexual act that requires 3 people, 2 guys, 1 chick, two guys, 1 chick, and 1 other unfortunate soul. The chick bends over, and 1 guy takes her from behind while the other puts it in her mouth, and then the 2 guys high five. There you go, giving the illusion of the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah,
so
sounds like a real winner.
And you're high fiving. Oh, Katie's leaving now. Oh, sorry, Katie. Didn't mean to offend you. Hey, what if my dad was like, oh, I know
Eiffel
what that
Tower.
Is.
So what age did you learn about that, Joe?
I do know what a Dirty Sanchez is. That's Steve Miller is in chat, and he just said Dirty Sanchez. Isn't that where you stick your finger up your ass, and then you give her like a Mexican guy's mustache. It's called a Dirty Sanchez in shit. I'm pretty sure that's correct.
Do you know what an open house is?
An open house? No,
yeah,
it's where you go into
a house that's for sale and you shit in it and don't use any toilet paper.
But I invented that.
Yes, it's a great one. Well, thank you for that story, Gramps. You've really steered the show in the correct direction. Been a pretty foul show today. Eiffel Towers, shitting, Dirty Sanchez's, all kinds of nasty stuff.
Yeah, check out the bonus show. Again, it is something that we would never talk about on this show, but it is angry. It's the angriest show we've done, right? Because I was pissed, then you were pissed, and then we were pissed. But not at each other. Yeah. Actually, it's not the angriest show we ever had. Robbie and I have fucking screamed at each other.
Angry at the world. How about that?
Yeah.
Well, I did another comedy kumite.
Oh, you know what? I forgot to ask about this. I'm hearing this for the first time just as our
listeners. Just to explain what that is. Kumite is a reference to the tournament in Bloodsport, the famous Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. Basically, it's a comedy, eight-person comedy tournament stand-up that Chris White does at the DC Improv. Usually, obviously, it's at a club where you take on a person, you do 5 minutes, they do 5 minutes, the audience judges the winner, and then if you win, you move on to the semis and then to the finals. And I am, I believe, combined maybe 1-6 or 1-7, some embarrassingly bad.
Correct. This was your eighth time.
No, I hadn't done it eight times, but I think I'd...
Oh, I see. You won one, then you did it twice. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. It's seventh or eighth time, something like
Got
that.
Got it.
But this one, obviously, was a virtual one on Zoom. And it felt kind of cool just to actually have a show. I mean, they sold like 300 tickets, $5 a ticket.
Oh, so, hell yeah.
Yeah, you had an audience. And then he would rotate different people to be like on the screen. So you're looking at some people, their audience. Obviously, you can't look at 300 people on one screen. But there'd be like seven or eight that you could, that would be essentially your virtual audience. And then there's a poll question feature on Zoom where the audience can vote and then you get the percentage. So I went up against Kasha Patel, who's actually one of the last people I actually had a show with here locally, February 15th, which seems like a year ago now. But I managed to defeat her 57% to 43%.
Oh, hell yeah. Congrats, man. It's your second win. You doubled your win total.
Yeah, thank you. And then in the second round, as they were about to decide who goes first between myself and Rollo Boykins, my computer, I lost my Zoom connection. So... it came back, and obviously they just started without me. Rollo went first. So I came back as I saw his last 30 seconds. So I have no real idea, you know, how well he did or how funny he was. How could I know? And so then I was back. So then I started, and I thought I was doing actually much better. I mean, it's hard to gauge these things, obviously.
Yeah, there's no
but
feedback
I felt
at
like
all.
Maybe I'm just looking at Chris White's reaction. I felt like my jokes, it was tighter the second set. I thought I had some good topical things about, you know, I watched Waco, and I just made a joke about it's crazy to see our government botch something that badly. And
right.
I think something to the effect of, yeah, it ends bad, but the conclusion was still more satisfying than the Game of Thrones finale. I thought that was a good line. But as I'm wrapping up my set, I noticed like everyone's face is frozen, and then it came back and Chris was like, yeah, you dropped off for the end of your last joke there. So I made a joke about that, but then my time was up. So anyway, I lost that round.
Right.
And maybe it's because I lost my connection. I lost it before and at the end. And why do they want to vote someone through who they couldn't hear necessarily? Or maybe he just had a better set than me. I don't know. Some people said I was robbed, but again, I didn't see his set, so how do I know?
Well, what
but
was the percentage?
It's just another kumite failure for Rob Mayer.
What was the percentage? Was it close?
Yeah, it was 55-45.
Oh, that hurts. That's close. Yeah, no, that your connection at least cost you 5%, 100%, right? So if that was the difference,
yeah.
If you pick up 5% and he loses it, it's a tie. Oh, yeah, no, you got... it's always something, but yeah, but I wouldn't feel as bad about this one.
Yeah, and also this was the only one that, you know, everyone was getting the same amount of money. So it was a different sort of a vibe, different sort of show because of the situation. Not that the money's that much that I cared about that in any of these other times, but at least I didn't lose any money because of it. But yeah, I mean, I keep trying to figure out the best place in my house to set up for Zoom. And I actually decided to go in the basement. And then I realized maybe that my connection isn't as good down there. So I'm still trying to figure out my ideal Zoom headquarters
in my house. No, the best thing to do is plug an Ethernet cable directly from the router, right? That would be the best thing to do, not to rely on your spotty Wi-Fi.
Yeah, live and learn. Kumite, once again, not a victory. But hey, it was just fun to have a show. So I think we're going to do something with Magoobies on Thursday with Eric's putting together this this comedy show. So check my Facebook and check Magoobies for that, and Eric Woodworth.
Well, hell
for this
yeah.
Thursday, May 7th.
Awesome. Congrats on your win. Let me just real quick in chat. There's a question that I'm going to ask, and then I'm going to read a little bit of the names in chat so we can wait for Gramps to answer. But Jeff Hancock, Jeff the photographer in chat, brought up a great point. He says, it's been 45 years. Can you name who the senator is? Why couldn't you? Everybody's dead, right? So who's the senator dad that was pissed on? Obviously,
he's not going to remember the name.
Listen, don't give him an out. Now that's what's going to happen. Anyway, well, why we wait for him to, you know, tell us?
It's also possible that he was never told the name. She just
again,
said.
You guys are giving him outs. I'd prefer that he be the one who gives us those. But either way, I'd like to hear the name if he has it. Oh, he says I never knew the name. Sorry, it's already in here. But in chat. Again, Baby Eater, Robbie's in there, Bench Warmer, Gramps, Jeff Hancock, Steve Miller's in there, Mini Wolverine, I don't get Chip. If you listened to our show last week, Chip was the name of the customer service rep that helped Robbie when he had a problem with his dusty Fritos, which, by the way, we have an update on. Also, Fritos, free being emphasized because Robbie got free Fritos. There are a few other funny ones. Joe's real estate agent. Shitty sink and 48 week itch. And I give this person some credit because every week they add a different, they update how close it is to my anniversary and put itch at the end. And they are right. My anniversary is the last day of this month. And that's 4 weeks away, which will be 52 weeks, which will be a year. So kudos to you, my friend.
Mini Wolverine is what you called, or somebody called, Scott Apple.
Oh,
in our Zoom meeting.
Yeah. And Scott Apple, he is a dead ringer for Lil Dicky. And I'm going to say this, and I'm not going to just gush. If you are not watching, and this is embarrassing, you know, yeah, I'm going to tell you, I remember I was listening to the Violent Femmes, and I was listening to it. It was 1986, and I listened to it all the time. And my good friend Dana Clack goes, aren't you like 2 years late on this? So, you know, that's how I feel about Lil Dicky. He's been around for 5 years. I've never fucking heard of him, right? Now, in my defense, his show just came out. But if you're not watching this show, Dave, God, it is a fucking masterpiece. And Scott Apple looks exactly like Lil Dicky, by the way. He does now.
Please, please tell people where they find this. It's on FXX.
And Hulu, yeah.
And you're watching it on Hulu.
Yeah, I watch it on Hulu, but it's also on FXX. But I will say this. Listen, I'll build it up whatever you think. The season finale of season one of Dave, it might be my favorite episode of television I've ever seen in my entire life. It is such a fucking masterpiece. So again, if you're not watching Dave, for the love of God, please start watching that show.
Are you going to, cause you've been doing this perfect song tweet thing. Are you going to, by the way, I think like for two of your songs that I haven't heard of, or bands, by the way, your last perfect song.
Oh, really?
Are you going to do a perfect episodes of television tweet?
Yeah, that would be a good idea. I think I will do that. I'm going to tell you my last perfect songs, so you can tell me what you hadn't heard of. That bothers me a little bit. I don't want to know that.
Okay.
Here we go. So
tell me.
It's going to take a couple of minutes. Go ahead and filibuster while I find this here.
Hopefully my Dry Bar comedy special will come out at some point this month. A couple of months ago, they said I get a rough cut in early May, and then it would release the end of May. I don't know if this whole quarantine has changed that. I mean, I'm sure they're still working remotely, so I don't know if that means it'll be out sooner or later. In theory, once it does come out, there'd probably be more eyes on it, so that's a positive. So I'm kind of itching to get some news on that front. I need something comedy-wise to, you know, keep me excited about my life here.
And that would be good timing if it would come out this month.
I think it'd be great timing. Yeah. And I don't know. I'm sure because they're not doing new shows, obviously. So they're not, you would think in theory that, they would have more time to work on putting out shows they've already shot, but mm-hmm. we'll see.
Now, I've been in a lot of fights on Twitter, so it took me a while to find these. These are my four almost perfect covers. So maybe that's what you were talking about. I'm going to read those, and then you tell me if you don't know any of them. The first one is I'm Free by the Soup Dragons. Do you know that song? It was originally done by the Stones.
I'm Free. Okay, this isn't the tweet I was talking about, but no, I don't know that song. Well, I'd have to hear it, but I don't know it, the song or the band by naming it.
Saw the Soup Dragons live at the very first HF Festival.
Yeah, the song I'm Free to Do What I Want Any Old Time. You probably do know it. Then Tennessee Whiskey, I know you know. Do you know the song
Yes.
Save It for Later? It's originally done by English Beat. Is that the one, that the cover by Pete Townsend?
No, this isn't the tweet I'm referring to.
I just wondered if you know it.
I didn't, but no, I don't know that either.
Okay, and the final one is Sweet Jane, originally done by, was it done by Lou Reed or was it done by the Velvet Underground?
Velvet Underground.
Okay, right.
I think I know that one.
Yeah, the Cowboy
Go
Junkies.
Go back to your other tweet.
All right, here I go. I'm still working on it.
Big fan of the Cowboy.
Okay, here we go. All right, Different for Girls, Joe Jackson.
Yeah,
I don't know that song or who Joe Jackson. I thought that was Michael Jackson's father.
No, he sings Stepping Out. He sings Breaking Us in Two. He sings Is She Really Going Out With Him? You don't know these songs?
And that was covered by, what was that band?
I don't know. But anyway, these aren't covers. These are originals. The next one, September Girls by Big Star. You don't know that one?
Didn't know song or the band.
Okay. You do know Gone Daddy Gone by the Violent Femmes, correct?
Well, when I heard it, I thought, I only know it as Gnarls Barkley's song.
Yeah, so originally done by the Violent Femmes. And, of course, this is the better version because the xylophone is in it, which makes the song. And then finally, Can't You See? I Know You Know That by the Marshall Tucker Band.
Yes,
right?
That I know. That I own that song.
So, Robbie.
But the others, not familiar.
Robbie, are those.
Completely whiffed.
Are those perfect songs?
If I've never heard it, I can't really.
No, I was asking Robbie.
It's a perfect song.
Yeah. I think they're all pretty perfect. Yeah. And it was Sugar Ray who covered that Joe Jackson song.
Oh, is she really going with him?
Well, now it's perfect.
Yes, I like the Sugar Ray version. Actually, I was a Sugar Ray fan. I'm not going to lie. I did like that band. I love that song, Fly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a great tune.
Fly's a pretty perfect song.
No, Fly's a great song. It really is. Yeah, I mean, that band gets a little bit of shit because, he was kind of a goofball. But they were not a bad band, if I'm being honest.
It seems like a song Tommy and Eric would sing in a murder mystery.
I guess now they'll sing whatever we tell them to sing.
Well, if we ever have another show, I mean, we do have dates in June. Things appear to be loosening up a little bit in Virginia. But I don't know. I'd still say those dates were 50-50 at best.
Here's my first four perfect songs. You ready?
Thought we did this last week.
Oh, we did? Sorry then, guys. I don't want to repeat myself.
Now you got to do four. Well, you can do four perfect movies, four perfect episodes of television.
Well, I will, but I did do this, and I think you saw it. Four movies that I know are bad that I absolutely love. Did you see those?
Yes.
It was, and I got to imagine.
Yeah, I did. You know, Roadhouse.
Yeah, I got to imagine Robbie doesn't like most of these movies. Am I right about that, Robbie?
Well, I've never seen Airborne.
Oh, you're out of your mind.
But I haven't seen Airborne either.
But I do enjoy Roadhouse for the same reasons you do.
Yeah, it's really a lot of fun. But yeah, it's Roadhouse, Airborne, Con Air, which everybody loves Con Air, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Rocky IV.
Yeah. I can't rewatch the movie
last night on Netflix, and it was the perfect movie to watch with no expectation at 10 o'clock at night on Netflix. Den of Thieves. You ever heard of this?
Who's in it?
Gerard Butler.
Okay.
O'Shea, Ice Cube's son.
Oh, yeah, okay. So it's a fairly new
50
movie.
50 Cent. Pablo Schreiber, he's the guy in the porn stash guy in the Chick Prison TV show. What's it called? On Netflix.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, that's Liv Schreiber's brother. Do you know that? Yeah.
Also in season two of The Wire. He's all jacked up in this.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's a bank heist movie. It's like a poor version of Heat and Usual Suspects.
And I should have included this because the last Rambo, the the very last one, Last Blood.
Yes.
God, I couldn't love it more. It's so fucking awesome, the Last Rambo.
And
the,
it is great. It's so bad, it's great. But that the last half hour,
God,
is
I
just
could
kill after kill. It's amazing. Yeah,
full disclosure, I've watched it two more times, and all I do is just, and what I do is I fast forward to after he gets beat up. Sorry, spoiler alert. And I just watch him. I watch him fucking go run through there and find her, and just start torturing people and chopping that guy's head off. I watch all that, and then I watch him when Kevin McAllister's it at the very end when he fucking, because there really is no difference between the end of Rambo and the end of Home Alone, except for everybody fucking gets killed in Rambo, and people just get hit in the head with paint cans and rakes and shit in Home Alone, but. They're the same shit. There's no difference. It isn't just that he booby traps everybody. It's not that. It's that when he gets them, he chops their legs off. He shoves a machete through their face. You know what I mean? Just everything. And then when they fall, like if they fall through the floor onto a bunch of spikes that have now impaled them like 600 times, he still takes a shotgun and blows their fucking head off. It's just, God, it's so.
Lots of overkill. I love it. He's not concerned about saving bullets at all.
And the other thing I love is that they keep going. They don't care that everyone around, they're just literally walking over bodies. Like, why don't you just be like, all right, fuck this. This guy's obviously booby-trapped this. Let's not continue to go forward.
Yes, look, it's so great.
Bodies everywhere. But really, the thing that just makes it so, God, it's just the fucking perfect ending. The ending is better than the ending of The Sixth Sense. It's better than the ending of The Usual Suspects. When he fucking sticks that knife in that guy and rips and shows him his heart because he ripped his heart out. And he's alive just enough to get a glimpse of him holding his human heart in front of that guy. God, what a fucking perfect. You did it, Sylvester. You've made the fucking perfect movie.
Better than the ending of Shawshank.
It's better than the ending of Shawshank Redemption. It's the best ending of any movie in history.
If you just put the Shawshank score and Morgan Freeman, you know, doing a monologue about hope over that, it's the greatest scene in movie history.
I'm wondering if, like, because, you know, Mike Chamberlain he couldn't escape enough to enjoy that. He couldn't. Like, he couldn't get out of his own way enough to enjoy that movie. Do you agree, Robbie?
You're probably right about that, yes.
There's no way.
Did you speak to Mike about his appearance on our show last week?
Yes. He was pretty pumped up. He wanted to talk a lot of movies. And I gave him Joe's number because he had a lot of questions for Joe.
Yeah, and he tests me, though. They're not really questions, right? So, it's true. He saw Parasite, and Parasite's a really, really, really good movie, right? And, of course, he wanted to know if I liked it. He didn't imply anything, but I already know, because if I say I don't like it, he's going to know I'm a fucking, you know, a piece of shit, right? So that's why, you know, I had to make sure that he knew that I loved the movie, because, again, if I even insinuate that it's just okay, then he's going to lose complete respect for me, right? But I did really like Parasite. I really did. It was a really good movie. I guess the thing that bothered me about Parasite is that 1917 really got kind of fucked over, because it was an achievement in a way that I thought Parasite was not. And so, you know, that's why I didn't romanticize Parasite like I would have had I not felt like 1917 got fucked over. Does that make sense? And Robbie, am I right about what Mike was trying to do?
Yes, and let me tell you something. You're going to laugh, Rob. You know what Mike felt most sorry for Joe about was, remember a few weeks ago we talked about the movie Medium Cool?
Yeah.
I told him that came up because we were talking about Robert Forster dying and Joe was reading his credits and he didn't know what Medium Cool was. And Mike just texted me back, poor, poor Joe.
I got to check out Medium Cool, but I don't feel horrible. I mean, you know, Mara Rinestein had never seen, what was it, Network, Nashville. She hadn't seen one of these big movies. You know, Nashville. Medium Cool, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't feel horrible about not having seen that movie, right? First of all, it's from 1969, you know, so, and I'm sure it's a great movie. I'm not acting like it's not. It's just, you know.
It's not that it's a great movie, but it's an important movie.
Okay. Well, I'll check it out.
Yeah, but does Mike Chamberlain know what the Eiffel Tower is?
Yeah, he doesn't know that. I guarantee he doesn't know what the Golden Shower is, I'm sure, right?
It's an important movie in the same way Easy Rider is an important movie. Like, it's a landmark in movie history.
Well,
it's hard to go back. I don't care for Easy Rider when I go back and watch it. And I don't know that I would love Medium Cool if I watch it for a second time, but it is an important film.
But I've seen Easy Rider. Anyway, has he seen Rambo Last Blood? I guarantee he has not.
All right, real quick, Chris Estivo had messaged me. He's making a formal challenge to Scott Apple for a trivia contest. Random questions.
Well, that's, I mean, okay, but if we go outside of pop culture and we go into lofts, Chris is going to get his ass kicked. You know what I mean? It's just, Chris isn't doing anything but watching TV and looking at strip clubs. I mean, that's all he does. So all we got to do is get outside of that. Scott's going to beat him.
So you're saying no to this? You're rejecting this idea?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I want more Chamberlain and less Restivo. How do we do that?
Hello.
Deal. Let's work on that for next week. All right. Good show, guys.
All right. Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.